At 52, you're supposed to have figured things out. Career stable, reputation solid, life on cruise control. Then one Friday morning, everything implodes. The call comes. Your position at Newsweek technology editor, dream job, covering fusion energy and artificial intelligence, is being eliminated. 2 weeks' notice, no severance, health insurance gone. Your editor's parting words cut deeper than the pink slip itself. I think they just want to hire younger people. They can take your salary and hire 5 kids right out of college. Welcome to the modern economy, where experience becomes a liability and gray hair marks you for extinction. With twins at home, a wife who just left her teaching job due to chronic illness, and zero income, desperation makes strange bedfellows. That's how a respected journalist who once interviewed Bill Gates and ran a wildly popular satirical blog impersonating Steve Jobs ended up at HubSpot, a Boston marketing software startup preparing for its IPO. What followed wasn't just a career pivot, it was a descent into corporate absurdity so extreme it triggered an FBI investigation. HubSpot's office was a sensory assault. Orange walls, beanbag chairs, toys, a candy wall, roaming dogs, Nerf battles, and a nap room with hammock. No private offices existed. Every 3 months, a mandatory seating hack shuffled desks to reinforce change is constant. Reception didn't know who I was despite my announced hire. My boss, Cranium, was absent. Instead, 27-year-old Zach toured me through the Content Factory, a cramped room where 20 young women with identical shoulder-length hair churned out posts like 5 ways to make your landing pages awesome. At twice most employees' age, I felt like an anthropologist. The aesthetic, free beer, foosball, kindergarten decor, made young, cheap labor feel special while working grueling hours for modest pay. HubSpot didn't want employees, it wanted believers. The company claimed it was harder to get into than Harvard. New hires wore HubSpot-branded ID bracelets with transponders. People spoke of being HubSpotty and bleeding orange with religious devotion. The company created HubSpeak, jargon stored on a corporate wiki. The 128-slide HubSpot culture code defined HubSpotty through heart: humble, effective, adaptable, remarkable, transparent. Despite claiming radical transparency, the company called firings graduations. Then came Dharmesh's innovation, bringing teddy bear Molly to meetings as a customer stand-in. Grown adults place the stuffed animal at conference tables as legitimate business practice. A friend outside HubSpot assessed bluntly, "This is cult-like behavior." After 3 months at HubSpot, my role remained undefined. When asked to critique the blog, I provided honest feedback, not realizing it would be shared with the team running it, instantly creating tension. I soon discovered the blog's true purpose: lead generation, not quality content. The team needed 14,000 leads monthly, requiring 1 million visitors. My articles generated traffic, but didn't convert into sales leads. Everything targeted Mary the Marketer, a fictional persona seeking basic marketing advice at a remedial reading level. During lunch, the verdict arrived. Our experiment with smarter content had failed. We needed to dumb it down further. As one manager explained, if publishing the word dog shit repeatedly would generate leads, he'd do it without hesitation. HubSpot had hired a former Newsleak technology editor to write articles like "What is CRM?" for Marketing Mary's elementary comprehension. 25 years building expertise, interviewing tech luminaries, covering breakthrough innovations, only to explain basic acronyms to an imaginary character. When I proposed creating a high-end online magazine targeting sophisticated readers, the idea was rejected within a week. Middle managers didn't welcome outsiders suggesting improvements. My workspace became a telemarketing boiler room. Dozens of young salespeople packed in rows, barking identical scripts into headsets all day. The noise was deafening. The irony? HubSpot preached inbound marketing while running an old-fashioned call center where reps earned just $35,000 plus bonuses to make hundreds of cold calls daily. This revealed HubSpot's split personality. Darmish's touchy-feely culture code versus ruthless sales, where the only rule was make your numbers or get fired. Sales reps faced insane pressure with monthly quotas that reset their lives every 30 days. The young workers weren't hired for careers. They were disposable fuel for the growth engine. While Darmish obsessed about heart principles, Holligan focused on VORP, value over replacement player, a ruthless metric to drive labor costs as low as possible. Despite all the delight chin rhetoric, the boiler room represented HubSpot's true soul. The cruelty extended beyond sales. Isabel, with a one-year-old baby, was fired after returning from medical leave. Denise, a four-and-a-half-year veteran, was told her job no longer existed while her department actively hired. Paige got fired during Fearless Friday, our feminist empowerment exercise, just weeks before her stock options would vest. This was the new work, exploitation with a smiley face. HubSpot's August 2014 IPO revealed Silicon Valley's new playbook, $118 million in losses over 7 years. In 2013, they earned $77.6 million, but lost $34.2 million, spending $1.50 for every dollar earned. Their strategy? Pour $53 million into sales and marketing, 68% of revenues, triple their R&D budget. The prospectus warned they might never become profitable. Investors didn't care. They were betting on finding a greater fool. This became the Valley's formula. Unlike profitable predecessors like Microsoft and Lotus, today's startups lose enormous sums while enriching insiders. The recipe? Grow fast, lose money, go public. Buy dollar bills for a buck, sell them for 75 cents. Investors only watch revenue growth. The unicorn game is rigged. Late-stage investors get ratchets, guaranteeing extra shares at valuations drop, plus 20% returns. Founders cash out early through private share sales. Employees with high strike price options get nothing. The young workers bleeding orange are the ones who'll truly bleed when reality hits. About a month after the IPO, Gawker Media offered me a writing position covering Silicon Valley, arriving the same day as my annual HubSpot review. In a tiny, glass-walled room, my manager delivered crushing news using HubSpot's grading system. I received a 3, average, for performance and 2s, below average, for both heart and VORP. He claimed two colleagues ignored his requests for peer feedback. What do you think that says about you? One was Tracy, a VP I considered a friend. As I expressed feeling lonely and unwanted, he weaponized my vulnerability, claiming someone from my past called me smart but acerbic. Perhaps no one had actually liked me. When I asked who said this, he refused, adding with a grin, "Consider that my gift to you." I left numb and immediately accepted Gawker's offer. Weeks after submitting my manuscript, HubSpot issued a shocking press release. Cranium, the CMO, had been fired for violating ethics codes in his attempts to procure my book manuscript. Another executive resigned before facing termination, while CEO Holligan received unspecified sanctions. The FBI investigated but declined to press charges. Despite the scandal, all three executives emerged unscathed. One quickly landed another VP role, Holligan remained CEO, and another reinvented himself as a diversity champion. HubSpot ranked 4th on Glassdoor's best places to work. Many employees genuinely loved the company, but I saw age discrimination, groupthink, diversity issues euphemized as culture fit, poorly trained managers, and an organization spiraling out of control. The tech industry has demolished the old social compact of lifetime employment and pensions, treating workers as disposable widgets. LinkedIn's Reid Hoffman promotes this in The Alliance, with temporary tours of duty. Netflix pioneered it with their culture code declaring, "We're a team, not a family," language HubSpot copied directly. This might work for highly paid athletes, but terrifies ordinary workers facing replacement by someone cheaper or aging past 35. Tech isn't about technology anymore. It's about getting big fast while exploiting cheap labor. HubSpot hires young people because they're cheap and pack densely. Give them free beer and foosball, create mythology making work seem meaningful, dangle wealth prospects while distributing it unevenly, work them until burnout, then replace with fresh graduates. Most concerning, HubSpot holds private data for 15,000 customers, yet executives allegedly invaded a former employee's privacy so seriously the FBI investigated. Like Uber and Facebook, they can't be trusted with our data. The new work isn't progress. It's exploitation with better marketing. Behind candy walls lies brutal reality. You're disposable, your experience worthless, and you'll graduate for someone younger and cheaper.